2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." God will bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together and ask the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. Father, we're thankful for a copy of the Bible. We don't want to just have it in our hand, but we pray that you would enlighten our understanding, that we could comprehend what we're reading spiritually. Lord, we know that the natural man won't receive the things of the Spirit of God. But Lord, we pray that with a spiritual heart, you would help us as we approach your word, and that you would give us illumination and understanding of what you're saying here, that it would affect our lives. It just wouldn't be something that we say we believe, but something that affects the way we live. And we pray, God, that you would encourage us tonight, that, Lord, everything is in your hands, and we pray that we would look unto you. And I pray that every person in this building tonight, their hopes and dreams are wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, we know from what we've read, if our hopes and dreams aren't wrapped up in you, they're all just going to be dissolved one day. They're going to be gone. So we pray you'd help us, and we'll thank you and praise you for how you give us understanding by your Spirit and deal with our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we'll do a little teaching, but try to throw a little preaching in there by the help of the Lord. But verse 10 begins a discussion about the day of the Lord. Now, he's already been talking about the fact that scoffers are doubting his coming and showing the fact that the calendar of God is not like our calendar. And so he begins to go into that calendar and let you know how God has planned things out. But don't be lost in the discussion of the end times here, because the whole purpose, the purpose that Peter has for writing to us about the end times and how everything is going to end up is the same purpose that he had as he told us about how awful the days in which we live are. It is not to scare us. It is not for any other motivation but to point us to our responsibility to get our lives the way they should be in light of all of these things. In other words, they are a means to an end to focus our attention on what's really important that God's trying to do in me, because he wants me, again, as the theme of the book, to grow in the grace of God. And if I can see everything in God's calendar, then I can understand that there are certain things that should not be important to me. And I should not let other things get in the way of my growth in the Lord, especially in light of how it's going to end up. And so, you know, the great thing about God is he doesn't leave us to guess. He tells us how everything's going to end up. I mean, he just writes it out and says that's how it's going to end. You don't need a soothsayer. You don't need a tarot card. You don't need a fortune teller. You don't need astrology. God says, you want to know how it ends? I'm going to tell you how it ends. I told you how it started. I'm going to tell you how it ends. So get with the program. That's what he's trying to say. Here it is. Now get your life situated with my program, because I've got it all lined out. So he begins to talk about the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is a very big subject. It encompasses much of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It's a very big figure in the book of the Revelation. But I think what I'll do, instead of just going through all the verses of that, go back up to verse 8, because when he says the day of the Lord, in verse 7 he talks about the day of judgment. You see that. And he talks about reserved in fire, and we're talking about the fire down here with that day of the Lord, day of judgment. But in verse 8 he talks about the fact that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Really, scripturally speaking, doctrinally speaking, the day of the Lord will include everything past the rapture, which includes the tribulation period, the millennial reign of Christ, and then the great white throne judgment. And that's about 1,000 years of time, about it. We know 7-year tribulation, 1,000-year millennial reign. At the end of that millennial reign, what is going to happen, we'll read it in a moment in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, verse 9, God's going to melt everything. He is going to burn everything up. And there's much about the day of the Lord that references what happens during the tribulation period. There's also much about the day of the Lord that references Armageddon. But remember, that day encompasses a longer period of time than just one event. And here Peter, when he writes about the day of the Lord, he brings us all the way to the day when the heavens shall pass away. You see, look at your verse again, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. Now, that's plural. That's not one heaven. That's at least two of the three. So the heavens will pass away. And then, of course, he's going to talk about a new heaven, a new heavens and a new earth in verse 13. So when Peter talks about the day of the Lord, he's going all the way to the end of the millennium and up to the great white throne judgment of God. So he's looking at much more than just one time of tribulation or Armageddon, which is what much of the day of the Lord talks about in many other places. But he includes it all the way till the heavens shall pass away. So now, get the context. This is not the rapture. The heavens do not pass away at the rapture. Okay? So Peter's not talking about that. The day of the Lord that he is encompassing here is when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Can you imagine how loud a noise... how loud a noise of the explosion is going to be when the heavens and the earth pass away? Phew. And this is what Peter's writing about. That's pretty good for a fisherman that never went to school. I mean, he's going to even get into some technical things about science here. I found myself not just studying the Word of God in this text. I found myself studying some things about science, but we'll see that in just a second. You know, you don't have to be afraid of science. Now, you do need afraid of, as the Bible says, science falsely so-called. There's real science, which is just the study of what God made. And then there's fake science, which is between some dude's ears that doesn't know God. And that's not science at all. But God has set rules to the creation. And, of course, the one that set the rules can do away with it. And that's what he's actually going to do. But I want you to go back to our text, because there's a phrase in here that sometimes has been misunderstood by God's people, okay? Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come, watch this phrase, as a thief in the night. You see that? Now remember, the day of the Lord, Peter's talking about here, not the rapture. This is the time when the heavens pass away, right? This is looking way beyond when God calls up. Now, I know there was a movie called The Thief in the Night, and it talked about the catching away of God's people. And I know that's generally referred to, you know, when Jesus comes for his own, it'll be like a thief snatching away. And you can make that general comparison if you wish. But biblically, Peter's talking about a thief in the night, where God's going to end everything, and it's going to be so sudden, and people are going to be surprised. The thief in the night comes not when he is expected. And remember in verse 4, The scoffers are saying, where is the promise of his coming? They are not expecting his coming, and they don't believe in his coming. The world doesn't believe in his coming. Now, I'm not even talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the coming of Jesus to this earth. They don't believe in his coming and his kingdom that's going to be set up. And even at the end time where Peter's talking about, when all the heavens will pass away, at the end of the millennium, when the devil's loosed and all the nations of the world are deceived and they gather against the Lord, they are not going to be thinking and considering the fact that, hey, suddenly, and I'm not going to be thinking about it, God's going to take care of all of this, and the fire is going to burn everything up. They're not thinking about it. Now, that's an amazing thing because God wrote about it. How can you be surprised about something when God wrote about it and told you word for word that it was going to happen and what the circumstances are going to be? Well, that's because you don't believe the Bible. But by the way, there are a lot of saved people that don't believe the Bible. You know how I know that? Because they're totally surprised when things happen like God said they would happen. What happened? Well, you know, God said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did you think you'd get by? The Bible says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Not may or could or might. So there are a lot of people who don't believe that. That's why they do what they do. You know, it's amazing. God spells out in his word how everything is going to happen in human history, and even how it'll go in our lives if we'll do his will, and how it's going to go in our lives if we don't do his will. Then why do we make a mess of this thing? Because we don't believe what he said about it. How can these people be taken by surprise during the tribulation period or at the end of the millennium when God wrote it explicitly what would happen? He told them how long the tribulation period would last. He told them how long the Antichrist reign would be. He told them all the events of it. And then what would happen? How are they going to be surprised? They just don't believe what it says. How in the world you get to the end of the millennium and fire comes down from heaven and the heavens pass away, but the people are surprised. It comes as a thief in the night. How's that possible when 1,000 years they had the fulfillment of what was written in the scripture? Because they didn't believe what it said. And how can I live my life like what God said is not going to occur in my life? You see? It's easy to judge people that the day of the Lord will come upon them as a thief in the night. But you know, there's a lot of Christians that have really been surprised when their life didn't work out, when they didn't live it according to the scripture. And they say, like, what happened? Well, it was no shock. How many times have, you know, there are some people, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but there are a lot of people, I can tell you what's going to happen in their life before it even happens. Because if you live your life a certain way, certain things happen. God says that's what's going to happen. Well, as a thief in the night, this is surprising to the scoffers, to the people that don't believe the word of God, even though he spelled it out. And the moral of the story, believe what God said. Because what he said is going to happen. Now, let's look at this thief in the night thing just a minute. What does that mean? I just told you it's not a reference to the rapture unless you want to apply it in a spiritual sense. Definitely not in a doctrinal sense in this text. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll start a little journey there. On the thief in the night. Who is it? What's it about? May surprise you when we get to the last scripture on it. A thief in the night. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, church, tell me what happens right before 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. which is the Lord, descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of our archangel, the trump of God, we which are alive, you know, caught up together within the clouds, meet the Lord in the air. Okay? But now in chapter 5, he moves beyond that. Let's read it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the what? Isn't that what we're talking about? The day of the Lord so cometh as a what? Thief in the night. You say, well, is that talking about above? No. Keep reading. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a woman, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now watch it change. 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, this day has nothing to do with overtaking you, because it's not about you, it's about them. Keep reading, verse 5. You're all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to what? To wrath. And the day of the Lord is this wrath. It's this fire. It's this judgment. It's this thief that is going to steal and to break through and surprise and bring fear. So the day of the Lord, the thief, is not going to overtake us because we're not appointed to wrath. We're not appointed to that surprise. We are appointed to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will save us from the day of wrath. Jesus will save us. And even to go further than that, we're going to be coming with him during that time. But I hasten to go to Revelation, Revelation 16. So he mentions the day of the Lord again as a thief, and it's not going to overtake us. It's going to overtake this world, the world that lives in darkness, not those that are children of God or children of light. We're not appointed to that day. Revelation 16. Let's get it again. Revelation chapter 16. The Bible says in let's start reading verse 13. This is during the tribulation period, and the Bible said, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. I don't like frogs. Amen. I just thought I'd say that. I don't like frogs. Unclean spirits like frogs. That's what's coming out there in Egypt. I don't have anything to do with that. Amen. Yeah, eat frog legs. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. And I saw three, knowing my luck, somebody here have a pet frog. Sure as the world. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Who is that? That's Satan. That's the devil. And out of the mouth of the beast. Who is that? That's the Antichrist. And out of the mouth, we know that from chapter 13. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's the satanic trinity. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which, by the way, this whole miracle-loving generation that we've just come through, that people are more suspicious of now, was just a setup for the real miracles that's going to come by the hand of the devil on this world. You're reading about it. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. Not just God that can work miracles, people. You know that, right? Those magicians of the devil did miracles before Pharaoh, just like Moses did. The Bible says, working miracles which go forth out of the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. What battle's that? Verse 16. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. That's the battle. So Armageddon, that's the culmination or the end of the tribulation period. Look at verse 15 though. The Bible says, behold I, who's talking? God Almighty. Behold, I come as a what? As a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So who is the thief? The thief is the Lord. And when he shows up in chapter 19, look at it with me in chapter 19, he'll come in a surprising fashion, in a sudden fashion. 19:11 of Revelation, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That's my Jesus. That's my Savior. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire. Drop down verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's John chapter 1. That's Jesus. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white what? Okay. Have that in your brain, and let's go all... Well, go to Luke 12 on our way to Joel 2, okay? We're still on this thief in the night. Jesus says, I'm coming as a thief. The world's not going to be ready for it. Why? Because they don't believe what I said. I told them what was going to happen. They didn't read it. You know, there's nobody's going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know anything was going on. And God said, well, people died to give you a book so you'd know what was going on. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 39, Jesus is speaking. We're still on this thief in the night. Luke chapter 12, verse 39, Jesus says, and this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Look at verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So again, Jesus himself likens himself to a what? To a thief. He says, I'm going to come when this world is not looking for me. Because they don't believe what I said. They're saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now, Joel chapter 2. This is where it gets more interesting. Jesus is that thief. The world is not waiting for him. The world is not looking for him. The world still thinks he's a baby in a manger. Or he's still hanging on the cross that they wear around their necks as a necklace. Or he's still in the grave. Or he's some spiritual apparition and not a real person that's seated at the right hand of God that said he was coming again. But the world is not expecting Jesus to come. Well, saved people aren't either, because if they did, they would purify themselves. And that's what the end of Peter is talking about. But go to Joel 2. We're still on the thief in the night. Now we're going to run into this thief in verse 9. You see the end of verse 9? They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Do you see that? Go to verse 1. Joel 2, 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for, look at it there, for the day of the Lord, that's what we're talking about, cometh. For it is nigh at hand. Look at verse 2. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A people is coming with this coming of the day of the Lord. And this people has never seen the like in the history of the world. Verse 3, a fire devoureth before them. A fire is going to devour before these people that are coming at the day of the Lord. And behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. You see that? You know what happens when Jesus Christ gets back to this earth? He's going to turn this world into the Garden of Eden. But you know what? He's not coming alone. That Bible said in Revelation, and you read it, when that thief comes, the armies, there's going to be armies following with him. And they're going to be on white horses. And a sword proceeds out of his mouth. Fire proceeds out of his mouth. Keep reading. He says in verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 4. The appearance of them is as the appearance of what? Wonder why? You got an army and everybody's on a horse. What do you think you're going to see? Man, look at all the horses coming. This people appears like horses, because that's what they're riding. And as horsemen, so shall they run. You see, this is the army of the Lord. Look at verse 11. I know Schofield has put a space between verse 10 and 11, but there is no, I mean, that's what he did. Verse 11, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his what? His army. For his camp is very great. That's me. If you're saved, that's you. For he is, this world has no idea what's coming. It's not just Jesus is coming, but the great camp of the hosts of the Lord, those that belong to Christ, are coming as well. Amen. For he is strong that executeth his word. For there it is, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? I didn't read all the verses. Go back to verse 5. He says, like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap. He's talking about the army of the Lord. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array, before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. He's talking about the army of the Lord. There's coming a day where all of God's people are going to be in line. And they're all going to be in cadence. Amen. They're all going to be in march step. Nobody will break their ranks. Everybody will be right where they're supposed to be. Amen. That's a blessing. He said they'll not break their ranks. Verse 8. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they shall fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Hey, you can't kill people that have a glorified body. We'll come back with the Lord, you know, and we're coming back with the Lord. We're His army, and if somebody gets good at it, we just take our sword and say, look here. You going to hurt me? I'll follow my sword. Not going to hurt me. Not going to wound me. You can't wound a resurrected body. It can't be hurt. You got an army full of people you can't kill. That's a pretty good army. That's the Lord's army. And riding all them horses. Now, look at verse 9. I'm still on my thief thing. Look at verse 9. They shall run to and fro in the city. You know who that is? That's the Lord's army. That's you and me. They shall run upon the wall. How do you run on a wall? Well, Jesus walked through a wall. A glorified body is not limited by matter and space and time. Run right up the wall. Not just climb up the wall, but run up the wall. Praise the Lord for a new body. They shall, now look at verse 9. I'm getting to this thief thing. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a what? A thief. Not only does Jesus call himself the thief, but his army is called a thief. And that makes sense, because you know what the Bible says? When we shall see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And one day he'll fashion my body like unto his glorious body. I'm going to be like him. And so if he's going to be a thief, guess what I'm going to be? I'm going to be the same way. But here this scripture says his army is running up the walls and going into people's houses. What's he doing? What's the army of the Lord doing that for? A thief. What are we stealing? 10, the earth shall quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw the shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Now go to Matthew 24. And this is the last little thing on the thief in the night. The world is not ready for what's going to come in the day of the Lord. Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, You may have heard this read or thought about it yourself and really misapplied it. Now I want you to read this in light of what we're just talking about. Because really get the context. Matthew 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now that's not talking about his coming for the church. That's talking about his coming to the earth. Because look at the next verse. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. A lot of dead bodies when Jesus comes back to this earth. Verse 29, immediately after the what? The tribulation of those days. You see that? Shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. We just read that in Joel. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, go to verse 35? Heaven and earth shall what? Isn't that what Peter said? Everything's going to pass away, but my what? Word shall not pass away. Everything is going to come to an end except the Word of God. And when the world's on fire, the Word of God will still be there. Because He is not slack concerning His promise. His promises are true, and is forever His Word. His Word is settled in heaven, and it is a forever Word. It's an eternal Word. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now that's a picture of what God's going to do at the end of the tribulation, and at the end of 2 Peter that we're reading, not a flood of water, but a flood of fire. Look at verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took. Now watch this now. Knew not. It's a thief. They were shocked. They were surprised. Noah's world was surprised. They shouldn't have been surprised because he was a preacher of righteousness. They were surprised. Why? They didn't believe the Word of God. And it overtook them as a thief. And knew not until the flood came. Watch it now, because this is important. And took them all away. What happened when they were taken away? Tell me what happened to them. They died. Look at it. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Just like the flood took them away, when the Son of Man comes back to the earth, there's people that are going to be taken away as well. Verse 40. Watch it. Watch it. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be what? Taken. And the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be, what does it say? Taken. And the other left. You know, we've heard that. Say, well, that's a picture of the rapture. That has nothing to do with the rapture. That has to do with the day of the Lord when the Son of Man comes back to this earth. And the people that are taken are just like the world that got took away at Noah's flood. The ones that are left are safe. The ones that are taken away, their carcasses will be gathered where the eagles are. He says in verse 43, look at it now. We're looking at this thief. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch, there it is again, the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, long and short, the thief comes to take away the people that did not believe and know the truth. Just like the flood took away the people that would not believe and know the truth that Noah is preaching about. And we're the thief. There is nothing for Jesus to steal in somebody's house. There's no valuables for us to run up of the wall and go into people's houses. But you know who is going to be taken? What is going to be taken? People are going to be taken. And they're going to be taken in the judgment of God. And we're going to have a part in that. Oh, that one right there? That one took the mark. Take him. That one right there? That one worshiped the beast. Take him. That one right there, they stood against the Lord and against His Christ. Take him. There's the unbeliever. Take him. And you talk about body snatchers. One shall be taken, just like the world was taken away in Noah's flood. Jesus is the thief. We're the thief. And they say, oh, what happened? I wasn't ready. Please don't, please stop now. No, no. You had the book. God wrote it for you so you could have read it for 3,000 years. And you didn't believe and know the truth. It's going to be an awful day. Same is true right before the heavens pass away and Satan's loosed out of the bottomless pit and he goes and deceives all the nations and they all come against Christ. Why in the world would you come against Christ after he ruled for 1,000 years and it was like the Garden of Eden? Because man is wicked. And suddenly the fire will fall and they'll be taken away. Go back to our text. 2 Peter chapter 3. So that's a discussion about the thief. It's not a rapture reference. And I don't know, you know, I don't know when that's going to take place. You know, I used to see those papers how it's going to make such a big difference in the world when we all leave. And I don't know what to think about all that. I just know when God's talking about the thief in the night, he's talking about the judgment that comes upon this world that they are not expecting. And the death and destruction that comes to them because they would not believe his word. Verse 10, 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So now we go all the way to Revelation 29 when the Bible says the face from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and they're burned up and they pass away. Excuse me, look at all the adjectives that are used about that. Verse 10 he says, pass away. In verse 10 at the end of the verse he says, burned up. Look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. God's going to dissolve. Look at verse 12. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God is going to take this earth and all the elements of the world, and he's going to melt them. You know, this is where I got, this was a little bit interesting to me. Now, I'd heard of absolute zero. That's, you know, the lowest temperature you can, period, you get to. But I never heard of absolute hot. I didn't make that up. That's real. It's in the Planck temperature scale, which I don't even know what that is. But anyway, absolute hot is 10 to the 32nd degree Kelvin, which you can't even really put that in understanding of temperature in your mind. But it's so hot. And it's never been observed. It's so hot. Not only, he says, all the elements. Now, you know, if you look at the periodic table, now, I listened a little bit in school, but the periodic table, I don't know how many elements are in the periodic table. I don't know if it changes. I think it changed since I was in school. What do I know? But 118, I don't know. I've heard 119 or 120. All those elements on the periodic table, the building blocks of our universe, they all have a melting point. And the Bible says that there's coming a day he's going to melt all the elements. When you get to absolute hot, when you get to the hottest temperature you can get, what I read was that the laws of physics no longer apply. Now I don't know how this works. Maybe Brother Bill could tell us. He likes all the science stuff, or maybe Brother Matthew tells us. I don't know who knows all the. But I know the first law of thermodynamics says that no energy cannot be created or destroyed. Now that's not really true, but God created a lot of energy. But and if he wants to destroy it, I guess he could destroy it as well. But He didn't say here he's going to destroy everything. He says he's going to melt everything. I'm melting. I can't get that out of my mind. He's not just going to melt the bad people. Can you imagine this earth, this globe, just melting until it's dissolved? Now, we can picture that because it's a ball, a sphere. So, but the heavens, the universe just melting. All the elements that make up matter as we know it just melt into the hand of God. Wow. Psalm, I think it's chapter 40, I'm not sure, says that he speaketh his word and the earth melteth. God can speak and the earth will melt. And the heavens melt. And the hills and the things that make up our matter and the atoms, just the building blocks of our universe, just melt down to nothing. You know, an atomic explosion or a nuclear thing has you can't even comprehend what you're reading here. God says, finally, everything melt. It's all burned up. Nothing, not one piece of matter is left in its state. Revelation 29 said, fire comes down from heaven, from God. As I've already read, 2011, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And when everything melts, you know what happens? When everything melts, you know what happens? John writes, and I saw a great white throne. The heavens are gone, the earth's gone, and you know what's left? Man and God. And that's how everything ends up, with you and God. No crutches, no nothing there, but you're standing on nothing. God is on nothing. Now look at our text, and I'm going to close. 2 Peter 3:10. If we believe that, if we believe our houses are going to burn up and our jobs are going to burn up and our cars are going to burn up and our country is going to burn up, guys, that's why global warming is such a joke. That's why nuclear war is such a joke. God's not just going to have a country or a planet destroyed. He is going to melt the universe. He doesn't need anybody's help to do that. Oh, what about the bombs? God's got it all taken care of. Oh, we got to take care of the planet. He's going to burn it up anyway. Well, let's just change it to R-54-3 in the heating and cooling units. Oh, the ozone. No, you got something a lot bigger to worry about than the ozone. His name is God. And when he burns it up, there'll be no vote. No. There'll be no Environmental Protection Agency to say a word. Well, what about all the animals? They all melt too. You know what? What else melts? People. People. Now, if we believe that's a mouthful. You know what would happen tonight if science said that they found a meteor that's headed to the earth on a collision course, and our planet will cease to exist upon impact? I mean, they report those things sometimes, and they're millions of miles away, and people go crazy. But if you said one has a dead center impact upon our globe, and you know, you've got 3 months, 12 days, and 5 hours, and the planet will cease to exist, do you know what would happen in this world? All of a sudden, everybody, everything that's important is not important anymore. Because it's over. You know what God's trying to tell humanity? Look, I've already got it on my calendar. It's going to be over. And it's not by chance. I'm going to do it. Now look at our text. Do we believe this? Well, let's look at verse 11. I'm finished. Seeing then. Now get what Peter's trying to tell you. Everything is going to melt. Everything is going to be burned up. Everything will be dissolved. Everything that you know of is going to pass away. Seeing then, verse 11, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? If the whole world is going to blow up, then why do you care so much about it? If all of society is going to cease to exist, why would you live for society? Why would you wrap up your values, your hopes and dreams into something that will dissolve? Makes no sense. But my God will not dissolve. My God will not pass away. The word of the Lord will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He's going to be on the throne when everything's dissolved. So how should I then live in light of the fact that what's going to be left is me and God? Now, I know saved people aren't going to stand at the great white throne judgment. We'll already be through our judgment seat of Christ. But the principle is, at the end of the day, when everything passes away and everything's dissolved, all that's left is God and man. So how should I live? How should I live in light of that day? What should my priorities be? If I really believe those words, Peter says, I tell you what, if you really believe that's going to happen, you ought to have a holy conversation and you ought to live a godly life and you ought to make your life count for eternity instead of living continuously for this day and this life and this world when that is so temporary. Your life is short. The world's life is short. The universe's life is going to be short. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Paul says it this way. While we look not at the things which are seen. In other words, why am I so concerned about things I can see? Because one day they're going to be dissolved. So Paul says this, while we look not at the things which are seen, and I'm telling you just as sure as I'm standing here, most people live their lives based upon what they see. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Going to burn up. Gone. Whew. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And Peter says, why don't you live for something eternal? And grow in the grace of God because God is eternal. And please Him because His ways are eternal. And love His Word because His Word is eternal. And everything else will just burn up. And it'll be like ashes in a little tray. Puts things in perspective. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Well, I don't like to think about that. Going to happen anyway. Well, I'll just live like it's not happening. Yeah. I know a lot of people that live like they're never going to die. But they are. I know people that live like there is no eternity, but there is. Guys, let's have eternity in view. The God that wrote this book has told you the end of the story. Now let's get with the program.